On the banks of the Upper Mississippi River sits Wisconsin's first historical site, the Villa Louis in Prairie du Chien. It's now considered one of the most authentically restored Italianate-style villas in the U.S. The large manicured estate is set on 20 acres.
This mansion, and the Dousman family who owned it for generations, has a storied past that's rooted in the region's wealthy fur trade.
But the Dousman's rise to prominence in high society in big cities has been told mostly through the lens of the men. The family thought of Villa Louis as their country home, but it wouldn't be what it is without the wives and daughters.
Prairie du Chien native Mary Elise Antoine aims to tell their story. Her new book is called An Elegant Edifice: The Women Who Forged a Legacy at Villa Louis. Mary Elise, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Before we learn about these women of Villa Louis, tell us about this impressive residence. Why does the villa hold a significant place in Wisconsin history?
Well, the home of the Dousman family, three generations of the family lived there. And the first generation, Hercules, was quite important in the Upper Mississippi, Western Great Lakes area, first as a person engaged in the fur trade with the American Fur Company, and then later on as an entrepreneur. The house itself, though, dates from the second generation. It was built by Hercules' son, Louis, designed by the Milwaukee architect, E. Townsend Mix. And the really great part about it is that the structure itself remained unchanged from the 19th century. And the family left a tremendous amount of items with the house when it was first given to the city of Prairie du Chien and then later acquired by the Wisconsin Historical Society. So we have documentation of the life of the Dousman families through account books, letters, children's work done while they were being educated, and just a variety of different correspondence, both business from the men's point of view and family from the women's point of view.
You had a wealth of documents and artifacts to be able to go through to be able to tell this story.
Yes. I mean, everything that one can read in the book is based upon either the Dousman family documents or correspondence in the Henry Sibley papers or the Elizabeth and Henry Baird papers. And I even found family documents in the New York Public Library. So a lot of information available from a variety of different sources.
Where did the family's wealth come from and what was their influence like?
The wealth came from investments that Hercules, the founder of the property, established. He came to know the area because of his work in the fur trade, but he realized that Wisconsin was going to be open for settlement. Mm-hmm. So he began acquiring real estate, shares in steamboats that went from what's now East Dubuque up to St. Paul, and shares in the first railroad that went from Milwaukee to Prairie du Chien. And he was a very good investor. And then his estate passed to his only legitimate heir, which was his son, Louis. And Louis managed the estate quite well. He had some personal interests that he invested in, like an art collection and also raising standard bred trotting horses. But he seemed to have maintained pretty much what his father willed to him.
You have a special connection to this estate. What is your story with Villa Louis?
Well, I've had associations with the estate for many, many years. My grandmother was a contemporary of the third generation Dousman girls, especially Violet, Virginia, and Nina. And my father was city attorney when the property was passed from the city of Prairie du Chien to the Wisconsin Historical Society. And then at the age of 16, my neighbor, who was the site curator, told me to come and start working at Villa. So at the age of 16, I started as a guide and worked there.
You inventoried the entire collection of artifacts in the estate. Can you describe a special piece to you that speaks to the historical significance of this place in Wisconsin?
Oh, my word. I mean, all of the pieces were owned by the family, and they all have a wonderful history to tell. So, boy, it's hard to
it's
pick
hard to
out
pick.
One. Yeah, because some of them, most of them are very, very personal. You know, we have the portrait of Louis that was painted after he died as a young man, and the house was then named Villa Louis by his widow, Nina. But then we have personal artwork that was done when the girls were in school, and gifts that their parents gave to their children. We even have hair jewelry that belonged to Jane, Hercules' wife. And then we have Louis and Nina's wedding rings. So it's filled with personal items.
The legacy of this house has mainly been told through the stories of the men and, you know, the matriarchs of the household, like you mentioned, Jane and Nina Dousman. They have been overlooked. Why focus your book on the women who lived there?
Because it was the women that maintained the property and then made sure that it was going to be preserved as a historic site. Jane lived in the present house. I keep saying that because there was an earlier one. Mm-hmm. The present house was built in 1870. And after the house was constructed, her son Louis left. And so Jane was the matriarch, the caretaker of the house for the next 12 years. And then when she died, Louis and Nina, with their children, moved back to Prairie du Chien from St. Louis. But Louis dies as a very young man, and Nina is left with five children, the oldest of whom is only 11. And she has to maintain the continuity of the family, of the property. And she does this with help from her oldest daughter, Violet, and her second daughter, Virginia.
Louis dies at age 37 without a will. Nina is 34. She's essentially having to take control of the estate with her little kids in tow, you know, 11 years old. She's got a toddler. The power over property for a woman was unusual at that time. What restrictions were put on women in this era, and how did Nina overcome these barriers?
Well, in those days, when a woman married, there was called the law of coverture. It's English. Most of a United States law is based on English law. And so when a woman married, she was covered by her husband. And any personal property, real estate that she owned, therefore became the property of her husband. And it would pass then to the male heir. So when Louis dies, he, as I said, dies without a will. The estate has to be inventoried. And what happens is that first Nina has to apply to the court to be granted guardianship of her five children. And of course, the only male heir, their only son, Louis de Vierville, is 5-6 years old. And so he cannot inherit yet. So therefore, she has to go to court again and be made the trustee of the estate so that it will be kept intact to be passed on to her son, Louis, when he comes of age.
We're talking about the women of Villa Louis, the Wisconsin historic site in Prairie du Chien, with author Mary Elise Antoine. Her new book is called An Elegant Edifice. I'm wondering about the role of Prairie du Chien to these women and how they were supported by the local community. There is Penelope Flora McLeod, Jane's caretaker. There were other caretakers of this property. How did Prairie lift up this family?
They were the support system. Both Jane and Nina were Catholic, and they were very supportive of St. Gabriel's Church. Jane started a school for girls here in Prairie du Chien, taught by the Dominican nuns. So they gave to the community that way, but all of their domestic staff were residents of Prairie du Chien. Besides Penelope, there was a man who lived within the house, Louis Lebrun. And both Penelope and Louis owned real estate in Prairie du Chien, but they chose to live in the house and take care of the property for, well, first Jane and then later Nina. And so when each passed away, they were buried in the Dousman family plot. Nina relied upon other men in the community to give her guidance. Mm. One was John Lawler, who was very instrumental with the Milwaukee Railroad system, carrying it westward from Wisconsin. And he was her advisor most of the time.
Nina was a socialite. You know, she gravitated to the big cities like St. Paul and, you know, Manhattan and St. Louis. So when she goes back to Villa Louis, she remodels it to accommodate these big parties. She's showing up in social columns of newspapers. How important was societal status for the Dousmans?
Very important. They were of the upper echelon of society. And so when Louis and Nina moved back to Villa Louis in the early 1880s, they completely redo the house, guided by an interior decorator from Chicago. And they had entertained quite a bit in St. Louis. And their plans were to continue this type of entertainment at Prairie du Chien, not only with area residents, but also people who had personal and business connections with Louis. Well, when Louis died, this all ended. And so Nina has her mother lives in St. Paul. And so her mother becomes a support system for her. And Nina chooses to spend her winters in St. Paul, where there is a very active social life. But the summers are spent at Villa Louis, and St. Paul society, the upper echelon, all had summer homes.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them were like
Lake Minnetonka. White Bear Lake, yeah. Right, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Nina had her summer home at Prairie du Chien.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And she would invite people that were contemporaries of her children to come to Villa Louis and spend 1 to 2 weeks. It was the family summer home. And so while they were in residence at Prairie du Chien, things were very quiet. But once the social season started again, she went up to St. Paul.
She was back into the city. The Wisconsin Historical Society operates the villa and the estate as a historic site. It's a tourist draw. Can you talk about how it is used today?
The house, based upon some wonderful documentation we received in 1990 from a Dousman heir, has been restored to the way it looked in the 1890s. We have photographs, bills and receipts, itemized bills from the interior decorator. And so based upon the photographs, the bills and receipts, and the fact that we found remnants of draperies and upholstery in trunks stored in the third floor of the house has been restored to the best of our ability, to the way Nina Dousman had it. Over 90% of the furnishings are original. The carpeting has been custom made to match the original in the hallway. The wallpapers have all been custom made to match the ones that were placed there in the 1884-85 time period. So It's a really special site in the fact you're seeing it as the Dousmans had it,
mm-hmm.
not as some contemporary curator thinks it should be. Because we have everything that's original.
Mary Elise, thank you so much for the contributions to this history. Thank you for your book.
Well, thank you very much. I enjoyed doing it.
Mary Elise Antoine is the author of An Elegant Edifice, The Women Who Forged a Legacy at Villa Louis. Her new book highlights three generations of women of the Dousman family in Prairie du Chien who helped preserve the family's Victorian-era Italianate estate named Villa Louis.